Quietly pursuing his investigation through the 1980s, Casson uncovered evidence linking Gladio to a wave of deadly bombings in Italy during the 70s and 80s, all of which had been blamed on the left. The chain of evidence also suggested that Gladio had taken part in no fewer than 3 abortive attempts to overthrow the legitimate government of Italy in 1964, 1969, and 1973. Casson finally went public in 1990 when he insisted on interviewing Italy's Prime Minister, Giulio Andreotti. He forced Andreotti to go before Parliament and deliver a detailed report about Gladio, which for 30 years he had denied existed. At the same time, Casson subpoenaed President Francesco Cossiga and compelled him to admit under oath that he had helped organize Gladio when he worked in the Ministry of Defense in the 1960s. Andreotti soon ordered Gladio dismantled. As a direct result of Casson's revelations, information came pouring out about the existence of similar Gladio-type secret armies set up by the CIA in France, Spain, Belgium, the Netherlands, Greece, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, and Turkey. Casson's pursuit of Gladio was unflinching, despite the obvious danger. As he later admitted, "It was a terrible feeling to realize that I was the only person who knew about the existence of Gladio, except for the members of Gladio themselves, and to think they could kill me at any moment." Compared to the harrowing ordeal of stalking a murderous clandestine militia all by himself, the prospect of taking on a group of genteel, white-collar functionaries for malfeasance at the Fenice Opera House must have seemed to Casson like gliding in a gondola. Knowing that any attempt at deal-making would be futile, lawyers for the accused instead attacked the credibility of Casson's panel of experts. Francesco Delia, the attorney for the Fenice's custodian, heaped scorn on the selection of 2 of the experts, Alfio Pini, the head of the fire brigade, and Leonardo Corbo, the national director of civil protection. "They name the fire chief as an expert?" Delia exclaimed to a television reporter. "He should be a defendant. He was 5 minutes away from the Fenice when the fire started, but he didn't get there until 30 minutes later. What took him so long? Even I was there before he was. And his boss in Rome, Corbo, he should be held responsible too, because the fire brigade mishandled the fire in every way. Did they use the proper procedures? Did they have the proper equipment? The fire chief and his boss say yes, but what do you expect them to say? If they had told the truth, it would have amounted to an admission of guilt." The firemen didn't know in advance that the canal at the Fenice was empty and closed, and they should have. They had to turn back and go down another canal, wasting precious minutes. All they had with them were old canvas hoses, 3 of which broke and had to be fixed. They had old wooden ladders, which were too short to reach the windows. They didn't have fire-repellent uniforms. They didn't have canisters that release oxygen-absorbing chemicals that literally suffocate a fire. This is standard equipment for fighting fires in empty buildings today. The firemen were inadequately equipped, and that's the fault of Pini and Corbo, the so-called experts. In response to these charges, Casson explained that the fire chief, Alfio Pini, was included in the panel in order to provide safe access to the Fenice and help the panel obtain anything it felt it needed in the way of evidence. Leonardo Corbo, the director of Italy's civil protection, had a lengthy list of credentials as an expert in fires and firefighting, with special expertise relating to fires in theaters. Though Casson coolly dismissed Delia's objections, it was noted that the telltale flush in Casson's face had reached a dangerous shade of pink.